Test, okay. Turn this off. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 8. And Benjamin became the father of Bela, the firstborn, his firstborn, Ashbel the second, Ariah the third, Nohat the fourth, Rapha the fifth. Bela had sons, Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Shephufan, and Huram. And these are the sons of Ehud. These are the heads of fathers' households of the inhabitants of Geba, and they carried them into exile in Manathath. Namely, Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera, he carried them into exile, and he became the father of Uzzah and Ahihud. And Shaharim became the father of the children in the country of Moab, after he had sent away Husham and Bara, his wives. And by Hodesh, his wife, he became the father of Jobab, Zibiah, Misha, Malcolm, Jeuz, Sakia, Mira, and these were his sons, heads of fathers' households. And by Husham, he became the father of Abitub and Elpal. And the sons of Elpal were Eber, Misham, and Shemed, who built Ono and Lod with its towns, and Beriah and Shema, who were heads of fathers' households, are the inhabitants of Ajalon, who put to fight the inhabitants of Gath. And Ahiho, Shashak, and Jeremoth, and Zebediah, Ered, Eder, Michael, Ishpa, and Joha were the sons of Beriah, and Zebediah, Meshulam, Hiski, Heber, Ishmerai, Izliah, and Jobab were the sons of Elpal, and Jakim, Zikri, Zabdi, Elanai, Zilathai, Eliel, Adiah, Beriah, and Shimrath were the sons of Shimei, and Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Anthothijah, Iphidiah, and Penuel were the sons of Sheshach, and Shamsherai, Shariah, Athaliah, Jerusiah, Elijah, and Zikri were the sons of Jeroham, and these were the heads of the father's households, according to the generations, chief men who lived in Jerusalem, now in Gibeon. Jael, the father of Gibeon, lived, and his wife's name was Makkah, and his firstborn son was Abdon, then Ker, Kish, Baal, Nadab, Gidor, Ahio, and Zechar, and Mikloth became the father of Shemaiah, and they also lived with their relatives in Jerusalem opposite their other relatives. And Ner became the father of Kish, and Kish became the father of Saul, and Saul became the father of Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal, and the son of Jonathan was Merabal, and Merabal became the father of Micah. And the sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Teriah, and Ahaz became the father of Jehoda, and Jehoda became the father of Elamath, Azmaveth, and Zimri, and Zimri became the father of Moza, and Moza became the father of Benaiah, Rapha was his son, Eliasa his son, Azel his son. Azel has six sons, and they were their names, Azrakam, Bosheru, Ishmael, Shariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. The sons of Eshek, his brother, were Ulam, his firstborn, Jeush the second, and Eliphelet the third. And the sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers, and had many sons and grandsons, 150 of them. And all these were the sons of Benjamin. Amen. First, you'll note that a lot of these names in the tribe of Benjamin were not only really hard to pronounce, but they sound a little different than the other ones, and there's some reasons why. First off, if you compare this genealogy with the genealogy that Moses lays out, there's a little bit different. There seems to be people missing and those type of things. Most likely, what scholars believe is that if you remember the Benjaminites, they almost were totally wiped out. Do you remember when they did something really bad? I think they raped somebody or something. And then the people asked for them, and the Benjaminites said, no, we're not going to give them to you. So remember, they went to war. The tribes went to war against the Benjaminites. They were almost wiped off the face of the earth. And so as a result, their genealogies and, this is after Moses, were all in disarray. And so that's one reason. The other reason is that when they went into exile, and remember, Ezra is writing this and compiling this post-exile, or in the midst of exile. And so when he's writing this, he's using a lot of their exile names in regard. And so the Benjaminites, really interesting, even though they were the least or considered, you know, more the minor, smaller of the tribes or least powerful of the tribes, when they came back to Israel, to Jerusalem, they're actually more numerous and almost most of the other ones. They went with less, they came back with more, which was pretty amazing. And thus the favor that God showed Benjaminites in this regard. And so thus you have all these names. And then in relation to that too, you have really a lot of more non-Jewish sounding names during this time. And you see how that's laid out. You can see how what Ezra is doing and how he's going about creating this genealogy goes back. And so the last, from 7 and 8, he talks about the other six tribes. Not that they're less meaningful than the other ones. Remember, he starts, the first one, he starts with Judah, because the Messiah will come through that line. But mostly in this one, he gets to the end because he's going to start his whole recording of history that's going to start from Saul. And so we see how he's kind of narrowing down. You can see his thought process. And then we'll get to King Saul. And then in the next chapter, which is finally the last of the genealogies, we get to that. And then it's the people in Jerusalem. And then we'll start right there. We'll start from Saul to David. David will carry us all the way through the end of First Chronicles, and David will end there, and then Solomon starts in Second Chronicles, and that'll lead us all the way through all the kings, and then we'll close with the exile. And that's how Second Chronicles will close. And so you can see Ezra, obviously a very sharp, bright guy, and he lays out all the different things that happen here in this place, and he's leading us somewhere. And so obviously the point coming from this place is really getting to the genealogy of King Saul, because he becomes obviously the first king. It's a very important part, and then it kind of leads us on into the rest of the history. Let me see. Okay, let's talk about something here. All right, since we should talk about something here, in verse 8, we have a really interesting character, and it's a Shaharim, and he becomes the father of the children in the country of Moab, and so he becomes in many ways the father of the Moabites. That's what we're talking about here, and you can see that a lot of these things happen. Really out of conflict or out of injustice or things to that effect. And so in this regard, we have Shaharim, and he sent away his wife, Hushim and Bara. So this is he's a polygamist. So this guy divorces these women, sends them off, and then he takes Kodesh, his wife, and becomes the father of Jobab. And so then you have the Israeli line continues on. But then with these other women that he just dismisses, later on, it's the Moabites. And if you know the history, right, I mean, there are times where they were very peaceable with one another, but a lot of times they were not. And this reminds us going all the way back to Abraham and Ishmael. And so out of the disobedience comes forth, really more than anything else, I mean, I guess it's more than that now, but a thorn in the flesh of Israel. And you can see how our disobedience, not necessarily ours, but their disobedience and their frivolity in dealing with sin and divorce and all these things brings about certain repercussions. And for one particular is, how many wars did they fight against the Moabites? I mean, how many people died as a result of conflict with the Moabites? And we see that it's a direct reflection of his folly and the idea he put them away. He just disregarded them. They didn't please him, and so he sent them off. And so, I mean, now you can imagine, so here's these other women, estranged women, that have children that are not even named here, and they become the Moabites. And so they start off in this thing. And what happens? Obviously, they're really upset with their dad, you know, for divorcing their mom. And this anger begins to stew throughout these generations. And it creates such a negative conflict there during this time. And I think it gives us pause a moment to really reflect on that, reflect upon our actions, reflect upon basically, I mean, if we're going to draw one thought this morning, is really just treating people right, because there's repercussions if we don't. And it's not that we need to be fearful and we do it purely because of the repercussions, but it's the right thing to do. It's the honorable thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. And then everything flows from that place. And it's just very interesting, you know, how this works. And it's important for us to continue to treat people in a way, regardless of how they look or anything. I'll tell you a story. There was a famous story, but there was this farmer. And he went to, at that time, his son had died, he wanted to donate money, was really into higher education, he came in wearing overalls, and, you know, he looked like a hick, you know, a country hick. So he went to the president of Harvard University and said, you know, I would like to donate some money. And so on and so forth. And, you know, the president of Harvard dismissed him. Just looked him over. I mean, this is country bumpkin wearing overalls. I mean, what is this all about? And he totally dismissed him. So you know what the guy did? He went to the other coast. He went to California, and he established a university. You know what it's called? His name is Leland. It's Stanford University, right? And so, you know, I'm sure the Harvard guys are shooting themselves in the foot. And totally dismissed, was not kind. You know, actually, the guy was super uber wealthy, but unfortunately, he just didn't look the type, and so totally dismissed him. And as a result, now you have this rival school on the West Coast. Thank you, Eugenia. I'm reminded of the story about your sweatshirt and stuff. So. But, I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, how this works, that you simply dismiss. Now, obviously, divorcing is a little more harsher than dismissing, but you see the consequences of how that's laid out. And so, let's close our eyes. Sorry, there wasn't much in this passage. I tried the best I could, but that's all we have. This was the hardest one of all. There's not even a little anecdote of a story. Well, I mean, there's actually one at the end, but it has no reflection on us. And, you know, when it talks about their archers, this is a very actually special kind of arch. And it was made of steel. And so they would actually sit down, and it wasn't one of those with the hands. They would sit down and use their feet and their arms to pull back. And it's quite a skill, but, you know, there's no takeaway from that. But I mean, that's kind of an interesting tidbit from this chapter. But let's close our eyes, and as we begin by hallowing his name, you know, let's thank the Lord that our sins will not be posted against us. That when we trust Jesus Christ and we ask him to forgive us, man, that we pass over from death to life. And he says that, I remember your sins no more. They're as far as the east is from the west. That's how far I remove your transgressions. And let's hallow his name for his forgiveness. Let's hallow his name that he can cause all things to work for good who love him and are called according to his purposes. That we can make a mistake, but it's not the end of the world. Well, let's hallow his name.
Spirit, come make us humble. lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Let's continue to pray and let's continue to lift up the name of Jesus. Let's thank Him that He's given us a plan and a way to live our lives, predominantly through the Sermon on the Mount. He's taught us not just to love our friends, but to love our enemies as well. And God will give you the power to be able to do that. Right? He'll never ask you to do something that He will not enable you to do. I think that's something that we miss out on a little bit. And we think that, oh man, we have to pray for those who persecute us and love them on our own strength. But God will never ask you to do something that He will not enable you to do. And so let's just honor Him. Let's thank Him. Let's bless Him for showing us how to really love people, all kinds of people. Let's hallow His name. go to our community prayers and let's continue to lift up our friends and family that are going through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that are battling through illness and friends and family, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for the word of salvation to go forth. Pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community as they look for work. And let's pray for our sisters that God would provide for them and open doors. Our mission focus, and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Ask God to continue to use her and help her with her language studies there. Let's pray for New York and SP New York. Pray for Chris and Amy. The Lord would just really stir up this group, and pray for Cambodia, for Grace and Oasis House with Pastor Jenny. Let's ask God to just breathe His Spirit over these places. Pray for our missions council. Let's pray for Pastor Ricky and our leaders, and pray that they would really hear from the Lord and lead our church into His missional heart. Let's pray for our local outreach. Pray for Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Pray that every person that we come in contact with would really receive from the Lord. pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for our foster adoption ministries. So let's pray for our families that are taking care of kids, the families that are signing up to take care of kids. And let's lift up Cadence as she runs and leads. Pray for our gatherings on Friday night tonight. Let's pray for SPU and for IP. And if you could also pray, we start our EG retreat tonight. Starting tonight, all day Saturday, and then early Sunday morning, we'll be back here at church. If you can pray, there's 13 people in this round of EG right now. So if you can lift up our time this weekend. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight as well. Pray for house churches tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide. Be with our leaders and all of our house church members would really fall deeper in love with God and with each other. Lastly, let's lift up our Manila mission trip. Pray for Ashley and Janice as they lead. She mentioned that today is going to be the most draining day of this time. There's a lot of activities. They're actually doing a sidewalk church in a cemetery. And so let's just ask God for a lot of strength, a lot of fruitfulness. Ashley also has a bad allergy right now. Let's pray for God's healing over her as she leads. Pray. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we understand, God, that our decisions, God, there's consequences. But Lord, we praise you, God, that you take away our eternal consequences. Even though we may, Lord, endure some on this earth, God, but ultimately, Lord, the big consequences, the eternal ones, were taken up by the cross. And so we celebrate you, God. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son, God, on our behalf. And today, Lord, we want to live for him, God. Lord, it's the least we can do, God. He died for us. We ought to live for him. And so help us, Lord, and give us strength today, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's just close in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And please pray for us over the weekend for our EG retreat and our Manila team. And we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday.